way to go on your website. A lot of songwriters struggle with this. You have a great www, and I'm saying that to be funny because it's your Willy Wisely website. Actually, if you go to willywisely.com, it resolves to wiselymusic.com, which is super smart. So you get us where you want us, but we can type the wrong thing and still get there. And your website contains all your album credits and your lyrics and your stories about the albums. I mean, it really gets you in because the stories, we know, the stories are what pull people in. Mm-hmm. That's what makes you unique, you know, as a songwriter. So you've got everything about it. If I want to look up credits or I want to look up a lyric, but also here's what was going on when that album was made. It's really nice.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I sometimes fear that nobody reads that stuff. And it took me a year to build that. And in a project like that, where I'm going to write a, you know, 9,000 word essay on this album, that I actually have mixed feelings about. And, you know, and then times that times 14 and, you know, albums, and it becomes a year long process. And then suddenly you're in the middle of it going, this is the most vain thing I've ever embarked upon. And I'm so glad to hear that it's connecting in some way with somebody. But a big part of me is like, I want my kids to know what the hell I was doing. I want to give my music context because I don't have the luxury of having a hit in the 90s and my stories on Wikipedia and I get some legacy record deals or publishing money coming in. I don't have any of that. So it's up to me to tell my story directly to people who care. And so I took the time and built that website, and you are, honest to God, I think you are the first person who has ever said boo about any of that. And that was 4 years ago.
Having it all in one place is real helpful. But also, if I ask you about a song, co-wrote it, you know, I won't know it.
Right, right. And that brings up the point I really wanted to make, which was taught to me, because I'm by nature a self-absorbed person. And I once played a show where I played a number of songs that I had co-written with a dear friend who has the gift of honesty with all things he does. And I introduced those songs as, all right, this is my song, blah, 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 blah. And he was just furious with me that I wasn't giving credit to him. And I called it my song, I think. And I just felt horrible. And this is 10, 15 years ago. And ever since then, I vowed to completely excavate every contributor to my projects and be and show gratitude in the face of all that. It's not like Willy Wisely's writing the big checks for everybody, you know. And it's just super important to let the world know who your collaborators were, because it takes a lot of collaborators to make an album.
I love the fact that you have video, you have different kinds of photos, and you have, I saw a photo with Ron Sexsmith, which was really cool. And then you have a page called Use It Wisely, which is, you know, a nice play on words, but also it's got purpose. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about that? Because I want you people to go there.
In the early aughts, I reached a frustration level playing nightclubs and decided I'd been collecting email addresses since, you know, 1993. I don't think Al Gore had invented the web yet, even then. And I was collecting websites. No, you got to hack on Al Gore. I love everything about him. strike any negativity from the record. All right. So before, you know, the internet was even a popular thing, I was collecting email addresses because I was in college and unaware of this. And I've long since stayed in touch with my fans. And I thought, I'm done with nightclubs. I'm going to play house concerts. I had heard about this from somewhere. I can't remember. I may have even read about the salons of Paris in the late 1800s or something. But people have been doing house concerts for ages. Like Jill Sobule had a big success with them, I think, in the aughts. And so it was sort of in the air, but not widely adapted. I think Pat DiNizio from
Smithereens
had like ventured out and done some of them and had a great success. I'm like, I am on that. And I booked in 2004, I think I played 90 house concerts, and maybe 70 the year after, and maybe 50 the year after. It depended on the album cycle and what I was trying to move along. But yeah, I really got serious about it, and I needed my hosts were like, what can I do? How can I promote this? You know, how do I invite people? What's the price? Do you have posters? And I'm just like, I need to answer 20 questions in one simple web page. So I built Use It Wisely. I haven't toured, done house concerts in a while. I'm open to the idea. I just haven't found the time to put a tour together. But yeah, though I leave that Use It Wisely website up just as a resource for hosts for my private concerts.
It's great. I recommend everybody take a look at it. And I'm going to learn a lot from it myself. When it comes to house concerts, for the uninitiated, a lot of people don't really know this whole thing exists. It's a whole culture. And this is where people host you often in their homes, and you come to their home and play. It's set up in advance. There's some kind of communication between you and them. And can you kind of tell everybody who doesn't know what that is, how that works, and at least how it works for you? And like, what equipment do you bring? Do you bring just an acoustic guitar?
Yeah, well, the nice thing about house concerts is it's super low gear, you know, and a lot of times I've done a lot of house concerts without even a PA. So it's, and let me tell you, one of the greatest joys for a singer is to not have your mouth stuck up into a microphone every once in a while. You know, that is really a barrier. I mean, it's a tool for a lot of people too. It's a performative tool, but it's also like, you know, putting a condom on it, you know, and it for me is so exciting to stand in front of a fireplace. My favorite house concert memories are literally just standing in front of fireplaces with people at my feet, you know, and just singing.
Not
like
even old, chairs.
Old. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. And you know, people on the couch, people on the floor, people standing in the kitchen door, you know, those are some of the most intimate times. As long as they're being respectful and listen, as long as I don't have to compete with conversations from the other room, it's just great in that homey environment to play, and people appreciate it more. They want to mark the event with, you know, a souvenir. And so they're much more eager to support an artist through buying a compact disc or a t-shirt. And so, you know, and also going to someone's home and throwing down $10 or $20, it's like, well, I would have spent that on the potato salad that I'm bringing, or I would have, you know, I would have spent that on a bottle of wine that I'd shove at the host of walking through the door. You know, am I really going to deny the musician $20? You know, but somehow if you go to a club and you have to park in Hollywood, or, you know, and park downtown, and then waddle your way to a restaurant, and then show up late to the club, and from a disgruntled, you know, get past a disgruntled doorman and show your ID that you left in the car. And, you know, yeah, you don't want to pay $20 for that. But, you know, so people are much more willing to be generous. That money flows more to the artist. And it's just a way to connect more deeply with people who enjoy songs and songwriting. And when you're playing with just a single instrument, you can show off elements of your songwriting that would get buried by an ensemble.
Yeah, it's naked. It's a really cool way to expose the song for what it is without any production on top of it. I like the idea that if the host is well prepared and the host is a good host, it probably has a huge effect on the success of a night if they understand what you need and what you need from the audience.
Yes, and there's, you know, I'm sure there's books written on this. I know that there's a Concerts in Your Home, CIYH maybe, is a whole website and network devoted to this, and I haven't delved deep in there, but you know, it seems to me they have their own little, you know, stars of their network of people that seems to go over a good part of the nation. And you know, they probably have guidelines for hosts, much as my Use Your Willy Wisely page on my site. And it just really tells the host, like, here's how to honor the music. Here's how to honor your guests. Here's how to collect money from your guests. You know, and you know, don't just set out a bowl way back behind the potato chips, like, you know, pass it around so that people are compelled and realize, like, this isn't, you know, just free, and that there's a human being behind this, and give them a great table to sell their merchandise. But, you know, beyond those sort of mercenary aspects, like, we're gathering here ostensibly to celebrate music. So let's remember that we're not here to celebrate, you know, gossip and discussion and catching up and stuff like that. So it's really important to keep your guests focused without shushing them. And that takes a certain amount, you know, hosting a house concert takes some corralling, and you really have to kind of keep it on time to, and advertise that it will begin on time so that people don't think of it as a normal, well, we always go to Jim's house an hour late, you know, well, you know,
yeah.
Yeah. So I'm getting sort of into the technocracy of, if that's even a word, of this, but I guess you asked. Yeah, so house concerts are a whole science unto themselves. And, you know, and hey, the best ones are just where, like, we're not even going to charge at the door. We're just going to serve a bunch of food and spend, you know, and pay you $1,000 and just entertain our friends with our favorite artist. And you know, how can you not love it? Oh, in our home that is a old church in downtown Denver, where we now live in a renovated, you know, 5-story tall, you know, what do you call that? You know, the main room of a church. Anyway, and, you know, I'm playing on the altar.
Twist your arm, you say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And occasionally that happens. Yeah, you get, and those are patrons in the deepest sense of the word, in the most historic sense of the word. You know, I mean, you know, Mozart was a patron of the, I'm forgetting, the Austrian family. And, you know, these people were supported and hired to make music day in and day out for every single event, unique music. And that's how the arts thrive. So it's not a new secret. So patronage, as I mentioned, the salons of Paris in the 1800s, where people would just get together and view paintings and discuss literature. And this is pleasant stuff for people historically.